Hey. All right. There's your little Tupac to live and die in L.A.
By the way, also the name of a totally underrated cop film from the 80s. There's a film called To Live and Die in L.A.
That was not a good movie, brother.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Defend To Live and Die in L.A. until the cows come
real
home.
Murph and Mac dispute here.
I'm shocked that you don't have a high opinion of that movie.
I thought it was a POS, bro.
We're talking about the same movie?
Yeah, with Wang Chung. To Live and Die in L.A. Yeah.
I would recommend that movie to anybody anytime.
Wow.
Great movie.
That's a bold statement, man. All right.
It's a bold statement. If
I tell you what, next week we're going to dive deeper into that. All right? We got to get
into
it.
I'll go as deep as you want.
My man.
Sam's going to have to stand by as I defend.
I think we have multiple things going on here with Sam Farmer. A, it's great to have him. He's a busy guy. I don't mean to unveil too much of his private life, but I believe he's traveling right now. Sammy, are you in the car with the beautiful and talented Paige?
No, you know, Murph, I waited. I said, let's just do this, and then we'll take off.
Oh, man.
So
we're the ones, so tell Paige I'm sorry. She's drumming her fingers on the tabletop. I know you guys had a little road trip there. I know. So, all right. We'll let you go. Give her a big hug. Give her a big hug. I miss her. And also, you want to keep it on a personal conversation on 50,000 Watts. Guess who I'm meeting for breakfast after the show? Brendan Healy.
No way.
Yeah.
Brendan Healy. That's amazing. He was the most overqualified sports writer at the L.A. Times.
Paulie, this guy was
Stanford. English degree.
You say this in the most loving of terms, total egghead, right, Sammy? I mean,
right, yeah.
I'm not really concerned about his personality so much, I am, Sam, as I am whether or not he endorses To Live and Die in L.A., because I'm going to stand by that as
a
great
cop
film.
Do you come down on that?
It's a great cop film.
Where are you with that movie, Sammy?
When Max said that, I hadn't thought about that movie in so long, which tells me I didn't.
I'm telling you right now, you got William Dafoe, and you've got the very rare cinematic USF Don's basketball reference where there's a scene they're watching a college ball game. Check this out, Sam. It's a great little period piece moment there where they're watching a ball game in a bar, and one of the cops goes, man, this Michael Jordan guy, because I think he came out like 86, something like that, 85, something like that, 84. And they're talking about Jordan, Michael Jordan, this new phenom in the league and everything, and then the main character, the cop, goes, no, the guy you got to watch out for is Quentin Daly. He's going to be the superstar. So that's a name. Like I said, a very rare USF mention in a film,
All right, well, Paulie will ride
No matter what I say, I'm getting attacked here. Anything else on Defoe's resume we can talk about?
Dafoe, what do you think? If I had to power rank Dafoe, we'll go, I can't think of Dafoe's best movie.
Well, you want to talk about playing Jesus Christ
there
in the Scorsese film.
All right. Let's talk about here's my transition, the football Jesus, Peyton Manning. Sammy, I called you originally to talk 49ers-Rams, then you texted me and said, dude, I'm at the Manning cast right now. I got to get back to you. So I just read your piece in the LA Times. It's fantastic.
Thank you, Murph.
No, it's just incredible. It's an all-comprehensive piece, and the Manning cast is the thing. It's like people are fascinated by this whole thing, and all your questions are answered. I would recommend everybody do what I did, be a digital subscriber to the LA Times. You can get these things for a fairly reasonable price, too, I might add. So, Sammy, just describe kind of for people, give a little teaser. Peyton and Eli have created something that is different, that is new. Yeah. It's as you guys say in the headline, kind of changing the way we watch TV. And what was your impression? Like, what did you take away from spending a Monday night with them?
Well, I mean, it was such a cool experience just checking out how they did the show. But, yeah, just looking back to, you know, we've talked a lot about Peyton Manning being an analyst on TV and sort of going that more traditional route. And I first met him at his office in Denver. He has an office. It's just a small office has a secretary who works there 3 days a week just so he can get his mail there, because he just gets truckloads of mail, as you might expect, that used to come to the Broncos facility. And he said, you know, I had meetings with TV executives every year here, and I was going year by year thinking, what do I want to do? Do I want to get into TV? Do I want to sort of have that next chapter of my career? But every time he kind of got cold feet and thought, you know, I got young kids. I'm coaching my son's football team. I like going to my daughter's volleyball games. And so during the pandemic, though, he said, you know, his financial guy said, we're going to take a big hit here. You might want to look at some of these TV jobs. And Peyton said, so talking to one of the executives, you know, they pushed a number across the table, and he looked at it and he thought, I don't think I can turn this down. But he ultimately did. He thought, that's not a reason to take the job. And he said he was watching Kirk Herbstreit, who had COVID and was doing the show from home. And he called Jimmy Pitaro at ESPN and he said, is this a one-off, or like, could we do a show like this from home? And so they said, let's do it. And so Peyton doesn't do it from his home. Eli does it from his home in New Jersey. Peyton didn't want to have all that equipment in his house all year round. And plus they're doing some remodeling. So his buddy, who has this car garage, this vintage exotic car garage in Denver, this very nondescript building, people wouldn't even know what it was, just like a 10,000-foot warehouse, is set up. I mean, you walk in and it's unbelievable. First of all, these cars, these muscle vintage muscle cars all on display, and then the set is really cool. About a third of the building is Peyton's set, and it's got a bar and a pool table, it's stuff you see in the background. If you look really closely at times, you might see some sort of automotive artifacts. That's because they're in a car deal. But, you know, I mean, Peyton is such a star. And, like, I don't know how he coaches his kids' team or goes to a volleyball game, because it's a huge deal when he comes into a place in Denver, as you might imagine. I mean, he's bigger than John Elway there.
Wow.
And, like, the garage door rolls up and Peyton rolls right into the garage, drives right in, and then they lower it. They got SWAT guys out in the parking, like plainclothes SWAT officers out in the parking lot just to make sure that. It's very
SWAT officers, Peyton Manning,
off-duty SWAT officers patrolling the parking lot.
We don't like to talk about it, Sam. We actually have a SWAT team on standby here too. we just don't like to talk about it.
It's incredible. And,
you know what? It's fun watching him. It comes off as very off the cuff, the show, and they do joke around. He and Eli do joke around quite a bit. But he goes through the same preparations, and he looped me in on all the conference calls leading up to this. And basically what those were these – Peyton likes using the text, the voice message, you know, on your iPhone.
Huh.
And so he'll send a 10-minute voice memo about things that he notices about the Cowboys offense or whatever. And then Eli will send one about the Giants offense, and then Giants defense. And so you wind up with a couple of hours of these voice memos going back and forth. And they've enlisted a couple of coaches, Adam Gase and Kevin Gilbride, who watched the film too. And some of the stuff I thought was interesting. And then they bring it up, some of the stuff they'll bring up during the show. And like Eli was talking, he didn't really talk about this in the show, but I thought it was really interesting. He said, if you're a quarterback and you're forced off your mark and you've got to move and your receivers, he said, it's a panic that you're looking at the back of the heads of your receivers. He said, that's when you're in a panic. When you see the side of their head, you know, they've started their break. They've started a cut if it's not just a go route. But he said that awful feeling when you drop back and you're just looking at backs of heads. And I thought that was a kind of a cool description of, even for a non-quarterback or non-football player to understand that sense of panic. And so they'll incorporate, and he was talking about Daniel Jones in a certain situation. So what seems like an off-the-cuff conversation is actually a conversation they've been having all week.
Huh.
And then Peyton will have also, they'll each do their production meetings, quote-unquote production meetings, over the phone, which production meetings, as you know, on Saturday, typically Saturday before a Sunday game or a Monday night game, the production crew, you know, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman or whatever, will meet with the head coach and maybe a defensive player, maybe an assistant coach and the quarterback. And these things can go on for a couple of hours. And they just are in a meeting room talking about, hey, here's what we might be doing. Here's a trick play we might run. And they entrust them with a lot of information. So they sound very knowledgeable when they're talking about it. Peyton is like, I hated those. They were way too long. They were meandering. So I always promise the guy, listen, he said he goes directly to the quarterback. And with 6 degrees of separation, they basically know all these quarterbacks because they were all at the Manning camp.
Yeah.
And he said, I've got all these guys on my cell phone. And he says, Cooper Rush, it'll be 8 minutes. I'll do an 8-minute interview with you. I'll ask you 4 questions. You know, he tells them right out from the outset, so he's not going to bother him. And then he's like, he came back and he said, it was 7.5 minutes. I timed it.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
You know,
he'd never make it in our radio thing. We always blow the clock in our radio, but Peyton's on the clock. That's tight.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. I remember years and years ago, 20 years ago, doing a story, or actually 2004, doing a story on the Manning family and sort of the differences between Peyton and Eli. And one of the things Peyton said, you know, when I was coming out of high school, I could name every starting quarterback in the SEC for the last 25 years, every
wow.
single team.
Wow.
And he said, when Eli was coming out of quarterback, we had, coming out of high school, we had to teach him the names of the teams in the SEC.
Nice. That's
a great line.
Yeah.
That's a good line. But so this is a different view, Eli, and you see how knowledgeable the guy is.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah.
Sending these voice memos. To a granular degree. So anyway, it was really fun. It was a great experience. You know, I feel like I'm on the Manning beat because I'm heading down to New Orleans in the next few weeks to do a Arch Manning.
Oh, because we're so late, and I know you got to go with Paige and all that, but I was going to ask you about Arch, but I'll look forward to that. We'll have you back on when you have that. And Sammy, I could really ask you a ton more questions. We got to let you go because of our clock, like Peyton, but I do have one last one is – we had a little bit of a dispute, not the to live and die in L.A. dispute, but your vote. Who's funnier, the underrated Eli or the SNL host Peyton?
I still have to go with Peyton on that, but Eli is sneaky. They call him the silent assassin.
Yeah.
He'll say things.
Yeah.
You know, he'll change your phone. If he takes a selfie, change it into Chinese so you can't change it back. You know, he'll do things like that.
Prankster.
Yeah, but just overtly funny, I think, Peyton. But I think Cooper tops them all. I think Cooper's funnier.
Cooper's the funniest of the three. And the funny thing is after the – and the story's great. Everybody should read the L.A. Times. Do what I do. Digitally subscribe. It's great. And the preparation you write about, all the stuff they do, and yet the ad-libbed humor is the stuff they don't prepare for, is the stuff people might remember the most.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, just watching Tracy Morgan the other night saying, you know, asking Eli if he played with Mark Bavaro, or you know, and then Tracy Morgan saying, you know, Saquon Barkley was his cousin, and you know, I mean, yeah.
But the guests
are pretty funny too, and they're very selective.
Yeah, and Eli went a little bit viral when it's just a real off the cuff, just barely tossed it aside. He goes, man, they should have given that punter $256 million, not Russell. And all of a sudden, that got legs, right?
Oh, exactly. And I guess that sort of speaks to the sort of growing realm of influence of that show.
Totally.
That a lot of people are watching it, and so it is a little. You know, it's a little dangerous. You can say something.
Yeah, I know. Just like a real casual comment you'd say on your couch, and all of a sudden, Russ Wilson. We got Russ Wilson woofing about Chad Powers now. You know what I mean? So, anyway, hey, it's a great piece, Sammy. Love it, love it, love it. Hey, just out the door, 20 seconds. You're doing really good on your picks. I follow you in the Times. Niners, Rams, who wins?
Oh, that's so tough. I mean, the Niners are in their head, beating them 3 times in a row. I don't feel confident about it, but I said Rams 24-21, just on the strength of the quarterback situation and sort of the uncertainty of quarterback. But the Rams don't have an offensive identity right now, and You know, you just don't know. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is as bad as he looked last week, and I don't know if he's as good as he looked the week before. So I think I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Niners win this. I think it's going to be a tight game, a close game, and I think there's something to a team beating a team three times in a row, especially in the Niners. I mean, look back to last year, the Niners got swept by Arizona, got swept by Seattle, and yet they swept the Rams. So
yeah, right.
There's something to that.
Right.
Dogs are going crazy here. So, in other words, I don't know, but I but I said 24-21 Rams.
You're awesome. Okay. Have a great roadie. I can't wait to have a great trip to Levi's and look forward to your next piece, buddy.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys.
He's See you, Sam.
Sam yeah. Farmer. He's doing great.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.